Welcome to VBS Sabbath, and welcome to my workshop. This was my workshop for the whole week. I'm going to steal your... And this week, we had an incredible time with our kids. It was so amazing. I have to tell you that as we were planning this, I was told we would have a 16-foot rocket in the sanctuary, and I didn't quite believe it, but we have a 16-foot rocket in our sanctuary. And we had the best time this week. We had such a good time. But beyond having a really good time, we also made sure that our kiddos learned some important Bible points. The Bible was our blueprint this week, and we used it, and we learned some great truths from the Bible. So let me take you, give you all a little taste of what our week was like. So if you missed VBS this week, you missed out quite a bit, let me tell you. So on the first day that we started, we had Decker, our crab, remind us of an important Bible lesson. But every time the kids repeated the Bible lesson, they had to raise their hands up in the air, like both hands like this, and they would yell out, "Wow, God," which is what my button says here. So I'm just going to invite all of our congregation, not just our kids, to just be a kid with us for today. Would you do that with us? So when I tell you the Bible point, you're going to raise your hands and yell out, "Wow, God," okay? So we're going to do a quick review of the week. So on day one, when we met, Decker the crab reminded us that God made you. And on day two, Tina the termite reminded us that God is for you. On day three, we had Bubba the whale, and he reminded kids that God is always with you. The kids yelled a lot louder than that, let me tell you. All right. And then on the following day, Skylar the bird taught us that God will always love you. That's better. All right. And yesterday, our Bible point was from Abby the bee, and she reminded us that God made you for a reason. This part of the sanctuary was occupied by Tinker Tots Preschool. All 100 of our babies learned that God loves you. And as you can see, this was my wacky lab, and this was my work table. And oftentimes I did experiments here with Professor Pickles Tinkerjoy, which you've already met. And my God sighting lights were reminders that God is at work in our lives all the time. We called these God sightings. And every day our kids would tell us a story. They would share something with us that had gone on in their lives. Evidence where they had seen God at work in their lives. And every time we had a God sighting, these were off originally, but kids would come and turn my lights on. And so as you can see, we had many God sightings. The cool thing is that not only did our kids share God sightings, but a lot of the adults who were here with kids shared story about how God is at work in their lives, how people had been healed, how people felt better after a terrible illness. Kids shared stories about God helping them through summer school or a tough situation in their lives. And it was such an inspiring week. And of course, we had to have a lot of fun. We had rotations where kids played and watched videos, and Imagination Station where they made crafts. And Bible Discovery was in here where Professor Pickles taught them lessons about the Bible. Stories that engaged our kids. I love stories, especially autobiographies. There is great power in stories, and stories can be defined as gripping narratives that teach us, they persuade us, and they define us. So I love the fact that the Bible contains stories. Stories about people like you and I. Stories about people who faced many struggles and tough times in life and also enjoyed some victories and good times in their lives. But, you know, there is something about a story that captivates us. And I like listening to stories. And I have to tell you that I heard a story actually from my daughter a couple of years ago that caught my attention. My daughter is a student at PUC. And during her sophomore year on Christmas break, she came home with a gift for her mama. And she brought me this autographed picture of this astronaut. This is astronaut Jose Hernandez. He had visited PUC to speak to the kids at an assembly. And after the assembly, the kids all got to meet him and get a signed picture from him, an autographed picture from him. But my daughter asked him to autograph the picture and sign it for me. So he wrote, "To Patty," and he said, "Keep inspiring your daughter." And then in Spanish, he wrote, "Si se puede," and then he signed it. And he signed with his name and the mission that he was on, the space shuttle mission that he was on. And it was very interesting, and my daughter came to me and said, "I want you to have it because I heard his story and it really moved me, Mom." And she said, "And it sounds a little like your story." I didn't really have time to investigate a whole lot or do a whole lot of research into his background and his story. But then when I was in my office one day as I was planning for Vacation Bible School and I was looking at what the theme would be, Maker Fun Factory, a wacky lab and rockets and science and experiments. And then I thought, you know, we're going to have this big, ginormous, giant rocket in our sanctuary. And I looked at his picture and I thought, I should find out a little bit more about this guy. So I did. And I learned about his story. So Dr. Hernandez is the kid of migrant farm workers from Central California. And that captured my attention. I'm the kid of migrant farm workers from Southern California. When he was a child, he didn't speak English until he started going to school. When I was a child, I didn't speak English until I started kindergarten. In fact, I didn't even know that Patricia was my name because no one ever called me that. So the teacher told my dad that he needed to teach me my name and teach me how to speak English. And as I read a little bit more about Jose's story, I found out that one of the things that his parents really encouraged was education. They told him to look out into the fields and to take a good hard look and to really think about the fact that if there was no education in his life, then this was his future. And I remember my dad telling us the same thing, and he would tell us, "Our priority is our family and education. You will have an education." And so as I continued to read a little bit about this astronaut's story, I asked myself, I wondered if when he and his family were out in the fields, if he ever imagined that one day in the future, he would be an astronaut that would be sent up on a space shuttle mission to be out in outer space and to see the most spectacular things that God has made out there that we probably will never have the opportunity to see. I was inspired by his story, and I thought, you know, he probably didn't realize it, but God had plans for his life, the way God has plans for all of your lives and all of your lives. And I got to thinking a little bit about that. The other cool thing I learned about him is that he's now retired from NASA. He established a foundation that he called Reaching for the Stars. And his goal is to inspire youth to find passion in science, technology, engineering, and math. And he works hard at encouraging parents to support education and engaging their community. The other cool thing that I learned about him is that he worked for a company that developed the full image scan to detect breast cancer, and that's probably one of the accomplishments that he is most proud of. But, you know, I thought he was created by God and built for a purpose. We are created by God and built for a purpose. And I went back looking at my Bible, and I thought about all those Bible characters that we can take a look at and think, wow, they were created by God and built for a purpose. But I stopped in one spot. It was Exodus 3, and it's the story of Moses. And the Bible describes the moment when Moses notices this burning bush. A bush was burning, but it didn't consume, it didn't burn up. And Moses thought it was a little strange, so he decided to go take a look. Moses was a shepherd at that time, and I figured, well, shepherds probably don't have a lot to do out there in the fields as they're watching their sheep. So he figured, I have a little time on my hands. I can go check this very strange thing out. And it's interesting that curiosity led Moses to the most interesting encounter with God. So he comes and checks out this bush, and he hears a voice coming from within the bush. So think about this. This bush is talking. If it were me, I think I would have run the other way very quickly. If a bush is talking to me, I will run. So in my mind, I'm thinking, wow, Moses is pretty brave. He sticks around and he responds to the bush. Think about that. That's crazy. He's ready to chat with a burning bush because he doesn't know who's speaking to him yet. And he responds to the bush and he says, "Here I am." Then we read and God goes on to speak to him and identify himself. And God tells him who he is. "I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." And then he gives him instructions to take off his sandals. And I'm so glad Professor Pickles sent those sandals back in the time machine, because yes, our Bible story would have changed. But at that point, when Moses realizes that he's speaking to God, that's when he feels fear. That's when I think maybe he is reminded of his childhood, of that time that he was with his mom, and mom talked to him about the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Moses had no idea what this encounter with God would lead to. You see, when he lived in Egypt, he lived as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And his future was probably all figured out for him. He didn't have to think much about his future. But he never imagined that that would all come crashing down, because he would end up as a shepherd out in the wilderness. What he didn't realize is that God had a plan for him. You know, when you really think about all of this, none of it makes sense. How do you go from being royalty in Egypt to being a shepherd? But you know what? God, on the other hand, he doesn't follow our logic. He doesn't follow structure or protocol. He doesn't do the things the way humans tend to do things. He obviously doesn't plan things out the way we do. He is our all-powerful, creative, innovative, awesome creator of the universe, who has plans for each of our lives. And sometimes he decides to communicate with us through a bush. Why not? He is the creator of the universe. And if you've never had a chance recently to take a look at the expansive beauty in the universe, just take a look at some of these pictures. When you look at it, you see great beauty. You see creativity and innovation. It's a wild, beautiful mess out in the universe. But for our God, it is perfection. This awesome God then chooses to chat with Moses from a burning bush. And in his conversation with Moses, God lays out his plan to rescue his people from Egypt. And he says to Moses in verses 7 and 8 in chapter 3 of Exodus, he says, "I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering." And then God goes on to say, "So I have come down to rescue them." Do you notice that big, huge, one-letter word? I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians. God is doing the rescuing, not Moses. It's not about Moses. Moses is not going to carry out this great feat of going down to Pharaoh and making him give up the people and that he's going to deliver these people. It's not about him. God is going to do it. He's going to do the rescuing, but he's inviting Moses to join him. God created Moses. He rescued him as a baby. He cared for him while he was floating down that river in that basket. He cared for him in his early life because he got to go back to his home with his mom for a few years at least. And all the time that he was in Egypt, God was with him. God was caring for him. Moses, created by God and built for a purpose. It is clear that God would be with him, but God is telling Moses to go. So let's take a look at verse 10. And God says, "So now go. Go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." God is telling him to go. But then Moses says, "Who am I? Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" God has to convince Moses that he can do this, that he's not alone, that God believes in him, that he's the chosen one to do the job, that Moses is not the one who will do the rescuing, because God does this work. God does the rescuing. God just wants Moses to go and do what he's asking him to do. But then Moses continues to talk to God. God, just as God made plans for Moses, God has amazing plans for our lives. We have a purpose. We may not be called to go to a Pharaoh and demand that he release a whole nation out of slavery. That may not be our purpose. But wait. Wait a second. What if maybe we too are called to go out into the world and to speak words of freedom to people who are in bondage and slavery? What if we are called to speak words of freedom to people who are in bondage and oppressed? God, our amazing maker and creator, the one who built us for a purpose, is also telling us, you and I, to go. We've been invited to go the same way that Moses has been invited to go. Do you really think that we get to just comfortably sit back and be a little annoyed at Moses for talking back to God and giving him such a hard time about going to Egypt? Moses is not the only one who was told to go. God is telling us to go too. If you remember in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus also invited his disciples back then, and us, his modern-day disciples to go as well. In verse 18 of chapter 28 in Matthew, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Therefore, go. God is telling us the same thing he told Moses. Go. Do you think that we did VBS to just entertain your children? No, we have a purpose. These messages that we shared, these Bible points, the use of all of this illustrative stuff is here to help equip and prepare our children so that when they are standing before God and they hear his voice and they hear his command to go, they won't do what sometimes we want to do or Moses did, is talk back to God and give them all kinds of excuses about why we can't go. We are preparing and equipping our children. We are telling them that they were created by God and built for a purpose because God will need them to go. Because we are in a world where people need to hear a message of freedom, the kind of freedom that only comes from our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, this call that God made to Moses and this invitation that Jesus is making to us sounds like a rescue invitation. This invitation to the disciples to go and make disciples of all nations is a rescue invitation. It's an invitation where we partner with God. God does the rescuing. But we are invited to work with him, to tell people that they can and will be free because God hears the cry of his people and he is concerned. We have a merciful, wonderful, and amazing God who hears us. And God is equipping you to go into the world and do what he asks us to do. Do you hear his voice? Maybe it's not coming from a burning bush, but do you hear him speaking to you today? Today, God is reminding you all of us, that he made you, that he is for you, that he is with you, that he will always love you, and that he made you for a very special reason. Our amazing God wants to equip you and partner with you so that we can make a difference in this world together.